Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for everyone that's come to fellowship together. Thank you for this opportunity that they continuing daily in the apostles' doctrine, you said, and in prayers and fellowship from house to house. And Lord, well, you've given us a platform, not quite from house to house, but to be able to gather together virtually. And we thank you that we can do it daily. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And these prayers, Lord, that we have consecrated before you today, to pour out our hearts and to ask for your reflection through us. May the Lord grant us the grace to walk in the grace that you have given to do this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about sufferings for Christ. Now, this is one of the attributes that we called out of the sons of God as we dealt with the anatomy of the sons of God. I want to share a few more scriptures because I rushed through that part a bit yesterday, but, you know, it's a significant part and we don't want to lose sight of it. That's a scripture, many scriptures that deal with this subject. And Christ himself, we know that he said a number of things on this subject, and scripture says a number of things on it. So, you know, let's take a look at this subject of suffering for Christ. And Christ, we are told, he's also called the suffering servant. In the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 53, you know, he's described as such. You know, a lot of things that he went through on our behalf. He's despised and rejected. So, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, you know, and so forth. And even, you know, says people hid his face. Let's read. Let's start by reading, portions. And again, this Passion Week or whatever people call it, you know, it's a good time to reflect on these things. So here are all these sufferings of Christ himself, what he bore on our behalf. You know, let's read about Christ first, then we'll read about what he said about us and what also the apostles said. Praise the Lord. And who has believed our report? Isaiah 53, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him. I mean, just look at some of these characteristics. A man of sorrows. Why? Why was he sorrowful? He was sorrowful because of all the pain that he saw. He was sorrowful because of the darkness that people were walking in. He was sorrowful because people didn't understand how to be in a relationship with God. He was sorrowful about many of these things. And he knew how to deal with it. He was acquainted with grief. Yeah, many times he saw the pain and felt the pain that people were. One time he even cried when somebody lost their brother. You know, just all of these things. And was despised. You know, people narrowly looked upon him. They even called him horrible names. The Jews used to, you know, demean the Samaritans, you know, and they hated the Samaritans. And, you know, it was a form of great disrespect to call you a Samaritan. And they called Jesus that. They called him, you know, said he had a devil. Said, did we not say that you are a Samaritan? And you had a devil. I mean, they called him all kinds of things. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, you know. It wasn't because of us. It was of himself. He did it for us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. All those beatings that he got, well, was for our peace. Not just for our healing, but even for our peace. And by his stripes, we are healed. You know, those, first he was beaten, and then they left some stripes on him. Scars and different things in his back. But healed by all of that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just think of all the things he had to put up with for us. He was oppressed, you know. They spat on him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They slapped him. They did all kinds of things. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, for the transgression of the people, was he stricken. We're told that he was even cut off from the land of the living. He gave up his life. Was it for himself? No, it was for us. He made his grave with the wicked and all these things. I mean, all the things that Jesus had to put through. I mean, had to be put through and had to go through. Praise the Lord. And during his days, as he was instructing his disciples, well, you know, he would say, he would try to encourage them to strengthen themselves for sufferings and persecutions. You know, and a determination that we must make. You know, many scriptures where he talks about, you know, taking up your cross daily and following me, he said, if you don't do it, you can't really be, you know, my disciple. And we're going to read all these things, and we're going to read the, you know, some of the things that the disciples, I mean, apostles later on also wrote. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 said, you know, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What does denying himself mean? Well, that's something that, you know, we need to, you know, talk about. Denying yourself, what does it mean? Well, let's read it in some of the other Gospels. Matthew 16 and 24. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, you know, let him deny himself and follow me. Repeatedly, you know, he said these things, and even the gospel writers, they captured it, that Jesus was saying this thing. And it was important enough that God allowed us to have it in various places. For whosoever, he said, will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, what is saving your life? You know, what does that mean? In other words, you know, we don't want any pain. You know, denying yourself also involves, you know, not worrying about what will happen to you. And sometimes we are in our comfort zones and we don't want any trouble. We don't want anything that make us disquieted. We just want to be left alone. I mean, so the easiest way for that is don't stir up anything, you know, and just go with the flow of the crowd. But that's not how the people of God throughout the Bible did, even the early church. We're going to see some of the things they did. And Jesus said, look, if you save your soul because you don't want to suffer, well, you'll save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you'll get it back. And many times, he said these things. Mark chapter 8, 34 also. same kind of thing recorded by Mark. We got to take up our cross and follow him. And that sometimes requires that we suffer. He said, well, you know, if you gain the whole world, what shall it profit a man? You gain fame, you gain recognition, because we don't want to suffer for Christ. What shall it prosper us? I mean, profit us. Whosoever, therefore, he said, in Mark chapter 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me or my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and of his holy angels. So that's one way that Mark put it. Matthew put it a different way. Look, they all added their voice to it. You know, so this is important that we should give, I mean, important enough, you know, that we should give another lesson to it. So that's why we're doing this today. If we shy away from situations that might bring us loss or pain, you know, because of we not wanting to suffer for Christ, consequences, even eternal consequences. Jesus saying here in Mark that I'll be ashamed of him also if he was ashamed of me. You know, so, and let's look at some other direct quotes in the Bible of some of the things that was said. This is the way that Mark reported it, and Luke also reported it, the place we read in Luke. Chapter 9, verses 24 and to 26, he said it. If you are ashamed of me, or my words, I'll be ashamed of you also. Now, what is being ashamed of Christ and of his words? Well, we know that people of this world, at least in this generation that we are in now, especially now, people don't want to hear anything about the Lord. You know, so, you know, if we have opportunity to speak up for Christ and we don't because we think the people don't want to hear, then that's being ashamed of his words. So we got to, here in America, we thank God for freedom of speech, although sometimes they twist it backwards, you know, and then freedom of, there's so many freedoms which we used to have in our constitution. Somebody's trying to, change different parts of it. But, you know, there's freedom of speech. And there's freedom of expression most of the time. You do it peacefully. And so if you don't want to hear me talk about Christ, then I don't want to hear you talk about your sinful life either. You have the right not to want to hear me, or I have the right not to want to hear you either. I want to see you. I mean, we gotta be a little bit militant in our stand for Christ. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They defied the order of the king. And they knew at the jeopardy of their lives, they defied him. We're not doing it. Praise the Lord. You know, those are amazing stories. Daniel defied the order. You know, he was always praying many times a day. And then the people knew that that's the only way they're going to get him. So let's make a law around that prayer, because we know he can't stop praying. So if we pray, you know, make a law that say nobody should pray to anybody other than the king, we know he's going to violate that. So we're going to get him. So they set a trap for him. But when he knew that the law was passed, he changed nothing. He could continue. It wasn't because of the law that he tried to stick his chest out and I'm going to pray now because of this law. No, he was already doing it and he changed nothing. Same thing with his friends. You know, they said, no, we're not going to give in. Whatever it takes, they defied the order. Now, there are some orders that we have to defy at times. Hallelujah. It's not every order that you have to comply with. Yeah, most of the time we comply. The Bible says we should be subject. The higher powers and so forth. Well, subject only to the point where it is not contrary to Christ. If it thinks about, speeding laws in the neighborhood and this and that, don't put trash here, don't throw trash on the highways. Laws, civic laws and different things that, improve the quality of life of people. Absolutely. We must comply. But laws that say you must not speak about Christ, we must not comply. In fact, we must be militant in rejecting those. We must stand up. You can't back down from that. If we back down, that's like being ashamed of his words. That's like, hiding to save ourselves. Sometimes, you may lose your job for it. That's fine. Jesus said, look, if you lose it, you will get it back with even more. We've heard a testimony even on this platform, a sister that lost her job point blank because of, the same thing. It took a while, but she got something back. But there's a reward for that. The Lord is taking note of these things. So let's say they pass a law now with your work or whatever. You're a teacher. They pass a law. You can't speak about Christ. Are you going to always follow that? You can't pray. You're going to follow that. Maybe you like to come in and start your day with prayer and say, well, you can't pray in this way. Why not? you might lose your job for it. So what? These are things about suffering for Christ. And it takes a determination. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, look, if you put your hands to the plow and look back, then you're not fit for the kingdom of God. So any man that does that. Now, we've put our hands to the plow. We cannot look back because of, some law, and the laws will be passed. We've been told by prophetic declarations that later in the age, laws will be passed. And we see some of the different things coming. You may even be passed the law later on that you can't have a Bible, you can't do this, you can't do that. So we are law-abiding citizens for the most part. So we should be. For the most part, we should, abide, keep the law. But the early apostles said, check within yourselves. Who should we obey? Should we obey man rather than God? So that is a question that begs to be answered. Should we obey man rather than God, or should we obey God or man? Which one should we do? God commanded us to do this. You command us to do something else. Which one should we pick? Judge within yourselves. this story in Acts chapter 5, they grabbed some of the apostles and said, look, we've told you before, don't do this thing. I'm preaching this name, and so on and so forth. You can't do miracles. You can't pray for the sick. You can't teach in this name. This is a forbidden name. And if you do it, you're going to get into trouble. And then they say, let's see. God commands us to do one thing. Well, you are telling us to do something else. Which one should we follow? So they found, they grabbed the people and said, the captains and everything, said, look, they brought them before them, they stood before the council, and the high priest said, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? That's Acts chapter 5, and verse 26 or so. Didn't we command you, verse 28, that we should not teach in this name? And now, look, you have filled all Jerusalem with your doctrine. And so on and so forth. And it begins to tell them, you shouldn't do it. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, Who do you think we should obey? You or men? I mean, or God? We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, that's right. So, and they stood right there. They stood their ground. And they gave witness of the power of God and the resurrection of Christ. And they said, Christ, you know, was given for repentance of Israel, forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And also it's the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. So, you know, they indicted them. Yeah, because they knew they were not obeying God. And the people were filled with wrath. You know, and they just punished them and so forth. But they went to their own company rejoicing that they were counted worthy. Listen to this. They departed, you know, from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy, that's Acts chapter 5 verse 41, to suffer shame for the name of Christ. And daily in the temple and in every house, just, you know, quite contrary to the law, they ceased not to teach and to preach Christ. Well, you know, so who are you going to obey? That's the question. You know, because the Lord told them to go and preach. The angel of the Lord even spoke to them to go and preach. He said, go and stand in the temple and declare these things. Yeah. And then when they did, they were arrested. And so what are you going to do if you're arrested? Well, you might be arrested. And, you know, some of us will be arrested later on. Jesus said, well, when you are arrested and they bring you before the council, don't even think what you're going to say. In that moment, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. Praise the Lord. You know, so it is important that the Lord's voice and commandment be obeyed. You know, the angel of the Lord at different times, it brought out these people from prison. There's another one that you may I've missed this story in Acts chapter 5. They put them in prison and so forth. The angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors. That's Acts chapter 5, verse 19. And brought them forth and said, go and stand and teach in the temple the words of this life. And so, who are you going to obey? And when they did exactly that, they were arrested. So, those are the things where we got to make up our mind, you know, who you're going to serve. Now, let's read some scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, rejoice, we're told, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You know, we've been talking about the glory of God to be revealed in us. Well, if we shy away from taking, you know, shame or suffering for Christ, we might just miss out. You know, we are called to be joint heirs with Christ, but we are also reminded that we must suffer with him. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 says, if we are children, then we are heirs. And if we are heirs of God, then we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. I mean, so many of these scriptures tie those two things together. The road to being glorified with Christ is through sufferings for him. You know, the many, many scriptures say that. There was this story that I alluded to yesterday in Matthew chapter 24, after Jesus' resurrection, and he joined himself to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. In Luke 24, verse 25, he said to them, because they were saying, all these things ought to not have happened to Christ. You know, I mean, he was supposed to be this and that and so. And Jesus said, O fools, Luke 24 and 25, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ, see, to have suffered these things and then come into his glory. So we see that for Christ, the road to glory was through his sufferings. Well, can't be any different for us. That's the way it's going to be. In order for us to be glorified with Christ, we also must suffer with him. Praise the Lord. First Peter chapter 5 verse 10. But the God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Well, after you have suffered a while for him, you know, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We've got to suffer for him. Yesterday I said, we're not going out looking for sufferings, but we embrace it when it comes. So that's the difference. It's not like you step out and say, well, I want to have some trouble today so I can say I'm suffering for Christ. No, you're doing what you're doing, but if persecution comes along because of it, you keep doing it. And, you know, that's it. And, we must not think that, oh, this thing is going to cost me some loss and therefore don't do it. And so that's what Jesus means by if you don't take up your cross. Now, Philippians 1 and 29. For unto you it is given. That's right. You know, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, these are things, you know, it's like a package deal. You can't have one without the other. You can't say I'm a believer in Christ and expect to be free from sufferings for Christ. Can't do it. Persecution, sufferings, different things may come. You know, persecution could be, you know, I mean, it's in a form of, you know, things that you lose, what people may do to you because of your association with Christ. That's what persecution means. You know, you may lose promotion, you may lose a job, you may lose friendship, you may whatever. But anything you lose because you suffer for Christ, you didn't want anyway. I'm telling you the truth. You lose friendship because of Christ, that's friendship you don't need and you don't want. You know, and if you're, you know, you've got to stand your ground. And people must respect what you believe. You know, and if you're getting into a relationship, and tell young people, and the other person does not respect your faith, get away from that. Praise God. Wherever you are, people don't have to agree with you. They don't have to like it, but they have to respect it. And if they don't respect it and they mistreat you for it, then take it. You know, so that's what persecution is. We take the suffering. I mean, Paul, he talked about the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. What does that mean? Well, Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We talk about that all the time, but we leave out this fellowship of his sufferings. You know, fellowship together, you know, Christ went through it and I'm going through it and he'll be there with you too. And Jesus doesn't always remove suffering or persecution. He may not save us from, he may and he may not. I mean, he chose to save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, but there were so many people. Yeah, according to, if you read the stories that were told in Hebrews 11, there were so many people that gave up their lives. Some were delivered, some were not, you know. But in some cases, I mean, like Stephen was not delivered. He was stoned to death. But we saw that Jesus stood up to give him a standing ovation. But he did not deliver him from it. We see that John the Baptist was not even delivered. He was even Jesus' cousin. You know, when they grab a hold of John the Baptist and put him in prison, and he got beheaded one day because the king opened his mouth and said something he shouldn't have said. Well, you know, daughter danced before him and said, well, yeah, you know, anything you want, I'll give it. Meanwhile, the mother told her, you know, because this John the Baptist was always against them for committing adultery and shacking up with the wrong persons. And said, well, if your father asks you, what would you want? I know he's going to ask you. Just tell him I want the head of John the Baptist. A wicked woman said that. And the king regretted it, but because he'd made an oath in front of everybody. He said, well, you know, go do it. And John the Baptist lost his head. Life. Christ didn't save him. He was there. He didn't even save him. Even when he was in prison, he didn't save him. In fact, one day when John was cast in prison, maybe in his mind he was thinking, you know, that maybe Christ would come and bust him out of prison. Christ did no such thing at all. And Jesus was just kept on doing what he was doing. He knew that Christ, he knew that John was in prison, but he did nothing about it. You know, I mean, seemingly, but he gave him grace. You know, he just didn't look like he did it. So John, you know, said, okay, so John sent some people to go and check Christ out. Said, look, go ask him, you know, are you the one that we should look for? I mean, are we looking for? Should we look for another? Are you the one that should come or should we look for another? I mean, what kind of question is that? He was the one that was already, I mean, introducing Christ. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the salvation of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. You know, he will increase. I will decrease. You can go to him. It doesn't matter. He's the one. I can't even lose his shoes. I mean, he was saying all these things. I may baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He was saying all these things about Christ. But when he was cast into prison, and Jesus didn't come to even check him out, let alone, you know, bail him out. He said, well, go see. Read the story in Matthew 11, you know, verse 2. He said, well, when John had heard in the prison where he was, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, you know, to him and said, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Well, come on now. You know, and Jesus answered to them, well, instead of just saying yes or no, well, go, because he knew that John was a prophet and John knew the scriptures. Well, go tell John and show him the things that you see. And then he can check it out himself, whether I'm the one. Well, you know, the blind see, the deaf hear, you know, and, you know, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf, you know, and so on. You know, are these not the things that Isaiah 61 said? You know, Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these things. And so go tell him, and then he can, you know, make up his mind on it. But he now dropped this thing. You see, this thing is what made me think, and why in the world would he say this? Verse 6 of Matthew 11. You know, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, it's about these sufferings for Christ. Well, I don't know. Maybe at that time, Jesus sensed that John the Baptist was a little bit offended because he didn't. I mean, Jesus was his cousin. There are mothers who are first cousins. So these were Jesus and John were second cousins. You know, but now John is in prison. Jesus did nothing about it. You know, and he didn't bail him out. And John lost his life in prison. However, you know, despite the fact that Jesus sensed that John was maybe being offended in him, Jesus gave one of the most amazing testimonies that you can give about anybody. You know, what went you into the wilderness for to see? I was talking about John. A reed shaking with the wind. But what went you to see? A man clothed with soft raiment? Those people are in king's palaces. But what went you to see? A prophet? And Jesus said, but I say unto you, yea, I'm more than a prophet. You see, this was Jesus' testimony about John. And this is the way Jesus was all his life. You know, I mean, it was Jesus. He knew that Judas was a devil. And he chose Judas to be one of his disciples. But, yeah, I said, well, look, have I not chosen 12 of you and one of them is a devil? He knew it. But still, he gave Judas responsibility. Judas was there. He was the one that kept the bag. Judas was given authority to go out, walk with the rest of them, cast out devils, preach the gospel, do all these things. Yeah, Jesus knew what was in him. And so, you know, Jesus didn't always, I mean, it wasn't all the time that he was confrontational like that. He knew how to manage that. And even in this case, he managed this, you know, testimony about John, even though John might have been offended in him as asking if he was the Christ. You already know all that I was Christ. But because Christ didn't, you know, visit him in prison. And so I say that story to tell you that, look, he may not always deliver us, but his testimony about you will be great. I will testify, and he was testifying about John. He didn't go to deliver him, but he was testifying, this man is a great man, greater than all the prophets you've seen. Although he put a clause there about the sons of God. But in any case, this man, great. Praise God. So let us not be offended in the Christ. Many scriptures tell us that if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And, you know, here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. I mean, Jesus said that in some places, you know, of which we've read. You can't just deny the Lord and think that everything is going to be kosher. No. If you deny him, he'll deny you too. So, I never knew you. That's denial. I said that yesterday. Some people have wondered why Jesus said, I never knew you. Is there anything that Jesus never knew? There is nothing that he never knew. He knows everything. He knew them, whether they are evil or good. He knows them. You know, so, but to say I never knew you, that's denial. You know, because Jesus said, look, I would deny you. So I never knew you. You know, you would go away from me. You know, so you walk out of iniquity. People who have surmised that, you know, Jesus rejected them because they were workers of iniquity. Well, that's true. But also he rejected them because he denied them. He said, I will deny you. There must be something in their lives that denied Christ. And so he denied them also. And all that suffer or live godly in Christ, 2 Timothy 3:12, shall suffer persecution. Now, if you're not suffering persecution for Christ, maybe you should check. Because if you live godly in Christ, you will suffer persecution. Somebody is going to hate you. Just because you are a believer. Just because you proclaim the name of Christ. You know, the devil is going to stir up something in somebody. So what? You know, the disciples, the apostles, they went home rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And so we must do that also. We've got to, you know, it's called the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul, he knew that. And he prayed that God would give him the grace to do that. You know, and he also said, look, I want to make up that which is lacking or coming behind in the sufferings of Christ. What are the things that, you know, Christ didn't go through that we must go through? I mean, Christ did it all. I mean, why would Paul say, you know, something like that, you know, it's like, what is lacking? There's nothing lacking. Yeah, but he kind of said it like that, you know. Let's read Colossians chapter 1 and read, something that he said there in verse 24 of Colossians 1. You know, this is the way he completely identified himself with Christ, for him to make a statement like this. You know, he said, I've been talking about these people. Look, you know, you who are sometimes alienated, let me read from verse 21, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet God hath now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. I mean, what do you mean? Are you saying that, you know, Christ left some suffering for you to do? Well, this is the way Paul was so identified with his fellowship of the sufferings of Christ that he said, look, whatever else is left, I got to fill that up the afflictions of Christ. And Jesus already said that, you know, we must suffer for his sake. And this is what Paul is saying. I'm ready to bear my cross. I'm ready to do. Look, Paul was a man that was passionate about everything he did. When he was against the gospel, he was passionate about it. I mean, when he turned around and was for it, he was passionate about it. He was passionate every which way. So he was also passionate in the fact that he was ready to suffer for Christ all the time. Praise the Lord. Let's pause and think about this today. Are we ready to suffer for Christ? Some of us have suffered for Christ in many ways. Some of us have lost things. Some of you, when you were growing up, I know testimonies on this platform. You know, when you were young and you were believing the Lord, your parents who did not understand the things of the gospel, you know, made you suffer. Some people were even kicked out. They were looking for a place to stay with other brethren and so on. I mean, you know, if you went through all of that when you were younger, well, what about now? You know, have we now come to a place of comfort where we are not ready to lose anything anymore? In those days, you didn't care. You lost everything. In fact, you were glad. You rejoiced. You know, Jesus said, you know, in Matthew chapter 5, he's talking to them on the Sermon on the Mount, and in verses 11 and 12, he said, look, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. You got to rejoice when you suffer persecution for him. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So when we suffer persecution for the name of Christ, Jesus said you should rejoice. Now, not be bitter and not, you know, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Not be offended in him. Not be bitter, but rejoice that you are counted worthy to do it. Jesus said, look, they've done these things to me in a green tree. What are they going to do in a dry? You know, you are not greater than your master. You can't be. There's no way, you know. So if Jesus had to go through all these sufferings, you know, then what must we go through? You know, and that's why he was asking those two men who were going to Emmaus. He said, don't you know that this is the road, the path to the glory of the Christ was through his sufferings? You know, and we also must recognize that the path to our being glorified with Christ is also through our sufferings for him. You know, so we cannot be glorified with him if we don't suffer with him. Luke chapter 23 and verse 31. And let's read it and see what Jesus says to them. That look, I mean, comparing the fact that he's the master and they are disciples, he said this, you know, what they put me through. Well, you know, you can't, you know, you really can't escape it. He said, if they have done these things in a green tree, what shall they do in a dry? You know, the days are coming when they'll put you out, he said. Days are coming, they put you out of the synagogues, they put you out of this, they put you out of that. Well, that's already happening. But, you know, when these things happen, rejoice. There's much to learn from, you know, people like Daniel, who defied the laws of the land. Even though they knew that they could give their lives to it, Daniel knew that he could be thrown to the lion's den. He knew it. But yet he defied that order. And these children, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were facing jeopardy of death, you know. And the king gave them one last chance. Look, I'll give you a last chance. If right now we're going to play that music, maybe what they said about you was not true. Because, you know, the king actually liked those boys. He said, well, because they were, you know, children of the princes. They knew sciences. They could learn the language of the Chaldeans. They were chosen and so forth. So he liked them. The people hated them though, because there was God's favor upon them, and they didn't like the fact that the king liked them. So he said, well, I'll give you another chance. We'll play the music now, just bow down, and everything will be cool. You go back your merry ways. And you keep your job too. And the people said no. Those young men said, no, we're not going to do it. Upon which the king was furious. You know, no king, a monarch, an absolute monarch like Nebuchadnezzar. It was an absolute monarch. You can't defy him like that and think you're going to get away with it. He was so angry. He said, hit up the thing 7 times. Yeah. I was trying to intimidate them. They were not even intimidated. They defied that order to death. That's what Revelation 11:12 says. They loved not their lives unto the dead. Cast her in the fire, no problem. We're not going to deny, and we're not going to bow down. My goodness. You know, so we thank God for that example. And they were indeed cast into the fire. And God allowed them to be cast into the fire. But God showed us a remarkable thing. In that the people that tried to cast them in the fire, because the flames were so hot, the flame leaped upon those people and they were burnt. But yet the people that were cast into the midst of the fire, of course, Nebuchadnezzar himself was standing way back, perhaps behind a fireproof glass looking, and he saw something amazing. Did we not cast 3 people bound into the midst of the fire? How come I see 4 walking loose? And the form of this one looks like an angel of God, son of God or something. I mean, what's going on here? That's the power of God's deliverance, but he may not deliver you. They said it. Our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. That's non-negotiable. They knew that. However, even if he doesn't, we're ready to die. So that's sufferings for Christ. That's not loving your lives unto death. That these people took up their cross, whatever it takes. They defy the order. Now, some decree may come down to it, and we are going to experience it. Some people believe that, the church will be raptured halfway through the Great Tribulation. Before everything gets horribly worse. I believe the same. But, you know, the first part too, there will be some things that we go through. And it's creeping up on us gradually. We're seeing the, you know, harbingers coming in already. Seeing the signs. They make laws and different things that contrary to the word of God. Which one are you going to take? You know, praise God. And we've heard some stories. You know, Columbine shooting and different things that we heard here in America. It's tragic, tragic, tragic stories. We see them, you know, in Nigeria all the time. You know, some of these, crazy Fulani and different things that go and, you know, kill Christians. It happened even to, you know, one of our very, very beloved brethren family. And sometimes they'd ask you to give up your faith. If you deny Christ, we'll let you leave. what are you going to do? Well, thank God for the grace that we have not had to find out, but we've got to make up our minds ahead of time that if you're faced with that situation, what are you going to do? You know? Thank God that God protecting us. God can protect us. He can do that. But if we are faced with a situation of that, what are you going to do? And it may not be the ultimate. Those were the ultimate. Some people, you know, gunman comes into the classroom, say, anybody who's a believer, you stand up, is ready to shoot everybody. Everybody hides under the table. One young girl stands up, guns are down. So, I guarantee you, she had a seat right next to the master on the table. She wasn't delivered, killed, gone down. And many people have gone down for their faith. And ours may not be that drastic. Yours may not be that drastic. Maybe little things throughout the day on your job, or here, your neighbor, and so forth. Just little opportunities here and there. And if you're ashamed of his words, he said, well, I'll be ashamed of you. Do your neighbors even know that you're a believer? Do your co-workers even know that you're a believer? You know, and so on and so forth. You know, so that's the lesson today. Just a quick follow-up on yesterday's lesson. This was one of the points we raised towards the end there of the characteristics of the sons of God, that they are ready to suffer for Christ and take on the fellowship of his sufferings, and they love not their lives unto death. So I wanted to expand it a little bit, talk a little more about that. And I'm going to now do a quick review of everything that we have talked about for this series. Why was this series important in the first place? Well, because we've been talking about, you know, dwelling in the presence and the glory of God and so on and so forth. We've been talking about many things relating to knowing who we are in the Lord. And so the Lord also called for this. You know, the sons of God will inherit this glory that we're talking about. And we who are in that sonship company, we must understand what it is that the Lord expects of us. So that's what this lesson is about. We must also have knowledge of who we are, where we come from, where we're going, where we're headed. I've said somewhere in this series that, you know, if you don't know where you're going, chances are you'll never get there. And you'll never even know how to get there if you don't know where you're going. Now consider stepping out of your house, trying to go somewhere, and you don't even know where that somewhere is. How are you going to know how to get there, let alone know when you get there? You know, so we got to know the things that are freely given us of God. We got to know what God said about us. We got to know what God determined for us, the role he wanted us to play in his eternal purpose. That is so key. And so that's what we've been talking about in this whole series. I invite you to check out the whole series. This is actually day 7 now of this series that we have been talking about. So, God bless everybody that's been listening in. Go back and check it out some more. And we're going to wrap it up here. We'll take discussions in a bit. But let me pray over the room. We're going to wrap it up here for today. Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this series, you know, unveiling and understanding this sonship that you called us into. Please, the Father, to adopt us. We are the ones that have received the adoption of sons. Adopted children are chosen. And we thank you, Lord, because we are chosen. We give you, Lord, the praise. And you have chosen us in you even before the world began. We're realizing it and knowing it now. And coming into that knowledge of the Son of God, who he is and who we must be like, he being the firstborn among many brethren. I thank you, Lord, for all of this information that you have passed on to us. Help us, Lord, to enact the same, to allow this word not only take root, but grow. We grow. The word grows in us. The word of God grew and multiplied. We're told, let the word of God grow in us, multiply, and we also be the source of multiplication. Share this word to others. And as we begin to understand who we are, take our rightful place and do the things that are expected of us. And God giving us that ability to shine for him in this crooked world. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. And today's lesson, Lord, more on sufferings, like embracing the fellowship of the suffering of Christ and not shying away from it. I pray, Lord, that you help us, many of us, perhaps all, at one time or the other, shied away. And I pray, Lord, for forgiveness and enablement to embrace the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. If it comes, we're not looking for persecution, but if it comes, we must embrace. We must choose who we are going to serve. Choose you this day, whom you will serve, whom who will be the government laws that are contrary to the word of God or the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you enable us in the mighty name of Jesus. Strengthen us, full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen was when he was being stoned. The strength of the Lord came upon him. The Lord give us strength to endure these things. And having done all, to stand and still proclaim the name of Christ, even in the face of jeopardy of our lives, just like the stories that we have read. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Thank you because of the promise that if we suffer for Christ, we will also reign with him. May the Lord give us understanding in all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.